Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
The Bible says we shall bless the Lord at all times, and his what? Continually be in my mouth. Anybody excited to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are here yet another, one more time, as I always say, the old folks say, one more time. God has brought us together one more time. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray and I'm going to get right into this word. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity, the ability to share your word with your people. Dear God, I pray to God that you will be glorified, lifted up, exalted. Dear God, that your word will encourage, will stir, and will allow us to walk in what you called us to walk in. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. So I've been doing a series on what are you, and the first ones were, what are you speaking? Last week, or the week before last week, is what are you thinking, right? So we talked about all these things, and today we're going to talk about what are you doing? And if you missed any of them, they should be on the podcast, okay? So we're going to talk about what are you doing? And as I was just praying this morning, and really, this is kind of in my spirit. It was already like on my spirit to talk about this. But, you know, I feel like God does that at times. Well, what are we doing? One thing that I will say is that we must, as Christians, it's great to have personal goals, right? It's great to have personal goals. I advise you to have personal goals. But what kind of goals do you have for your faith? Right? That's a big thing. We must have goals for our faith walk. One of my goals is that, man, you know, I pray that three people can get saved this year through me. Amen. Not just coming to church or not only that, that they will be discipled through me. Right. These are goals that I have year after year. And then it's like, how do we attain these goals? So what am I asking? This is not just for you. This is also for myself. What are we doing? OK. As believers, what are we doing to make a difference in the world, to share that Jesus Christ is not only the light of this world, but he is our Lord and our Savior? Amen. I was reading today in John chapter 1. It talked about Jesus was the light, but the world did not comprehend the light. That means they didn't understand the light. So what is our job? Our job is to help them understand the light, to help them understand that Jesus is able to change, to save, and to make our lives better. Amen. That's a great thing about Jesus. See, this is the thing. We don't just come to church and be like, oh yeah, God is good, and hopefully you understand it. No, the world should see that your life is better because you've came to Christ. You're not battling with depression like you battled with depression before. Right? You're not finding yourself unsure of who you are anymore because Christ gives you an identity. Amen. So my question is, what are we doing? What are we doing to make an impact in this world? Because we have to do something. If we don't, the Bible says that how it asks this question. It says, how will they hear unless somebody is sent? How will they understand the gospel unless somebody preaches it to them? Right. So it is our job. And God has mandated us to do that. Now, here's some excuses that we use. Well, I might not know enough scripture. Right? Have you ever got ready to tell somebody about God and in your head, the enemy says, you don't know enough? Anybody had that happen before? I want to tell them about Jesus, but I don't know enough. Or I might look funny doing that. Right? Or here's the biggest one. I'm scared. How many times you got ready to, you have gotten ready to share the word of God with somebody and your fear held you back. And you guys know what I say. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear will hold you back from the plans of God. Faith will propel you into the plans that God has for you. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? And if there are things that are hindering us in our walk, if you say that I don't know enough, that doesn't, you don't just stay there, then you start digging. Have you ever didn't understand a subject in school? And just some people just be like, I don't get this. Others are like, I don't get it, but let me figure it out. I'm the kind of person, especially with math, if I find out the formula, it's a wrap. I got it down, right? If I find a formula or understand the way that it works, I got it. Okay, I'm gonna give a quick example. I wish Precious was in here. We were on a trip one time, and we played this game. And in this game, the instructor didn't really tell us how it worked. You just had to catch on. So, I really need Precious to do this. And if she gets in here, that would be great. But once you found the formula, you were fine. You understood it, right? Once I find a formula, I can get what I need to understand. And guess what? In God, there's a formula. Study to show yourself approved. Amen? The more you dig into the Bible, the more that it comes out of your mouth. Right? The more that you start reading, and not only reading it, sometimes memorizing it, starting putting it in different places in your house, the more that you do that, the more that you will know the Word of God. It's very simple. But we must not allow our excuses to hold us back. Amen? Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 21. James 1, 21. And this scripture talks about don't be just hearers of the word, but be what? Come on, say it like you mean it. Doers. We're asking a question, what are you doing? We have to do the word of God. That means we have to walk out what God's word says. Amen. It says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Okay, here's a couple things in that scripture. One thing that will help save somebody's soul is the word of God. I don't go trying to teach somebody in my own wisdom how they can get saved. I must share the word of God. Somebody say, do the word. Tell your neighbor, do the word. We have to share the word because it's that word that we accept that will save the soul of the listener. But verse 22 says, don't just hear the word, but it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The most dangerous thing is Christians that read the Bible, but they deceive themselves because they don't do it. Okay? It's very dangerous to know God's word, but not follow God's word. Then you deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, or a woman observing her natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, which is the word, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Let me read verse 25 again. It says, but he or she who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Okay. So the perfect law of liberty explains what the word of God will do. It will liberate you. It will set you free. Somebody say, set me free. Thank God I'm set free. Okay. It says that it will who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. Now, we all want to be blessed. How many church people? How you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right. I'm blessed. And there's nothing new. I'm blessed and I'm not stressed. When we come into the church, we want to sing blessed. Right. We want the blessing. Here's a here's a pure way to get it. Okay. Do the word. It says do the work of the word. So you have to work the word. Somebody say work the word. You have to work the word in your life. And guess what? If you don't work the word, you forget the word. You guys catch that? It says that right there. If you do not work the word of God in your life, you will forget the word of God. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. Now, as adults, how many of us, when's the last time we have rode a real bike outside? Anybody did it in the last year? Raise your hand. Precious, maybe, right? Now, Precious, when she got on that bike for the first time in about umpteen years, she had a little bit of issue riding that bike. Now, let me not talk about Precious. Let me talk about myself. Hey, man. I remember I was riding my bike, and my bike got stolen, unfortunately, but it wasn't working that well. But my bike, I was on one of those gear bikes, but it would switch gears by itself. So I used to try to ride it, and I would ride from my house to my job, my office, which was, I mean, really, it was like, if the bike worked good, 5 minutes, if that. But it took about 10 minutes because the bike's gears would switch whenever it wanted to. And I couldn't stand up on a bike, so my tail was hurting. Right. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't remember it. The bike being like this. This is my first time riding a bike in over 20 years. Right. So I'm trying to get home on this bike. And on the way home, it's like all downhill. And I'm like, yeah, but it hurts because I can't stand up. OK. Guess what? It's like I almost forgot how to ride a bike. Now, the bike was broke. I didn't really forget how to ride a bike, but I forgot how much of shape you have to be in to ride that bike, right? It's another thing to, if you practice something and then you don't practice it for a long time and you get out and try to do it again, you might be a little bit rusty. The more you don't work the word of God, the more rusty it becomes in your life, right? The more it starts to hurt because now you're reading it and you're like, oh, my God, he's talking about me. And the great thing about God is he is gently convicting your soul so you can get right. See, this is the thing about God. If God convicts you, he's trying to get you right. When the devil doesn't, he convicts you. He's just trying to show you that you're already wrong. Catch that? The same conviction, but different results in your thoughts. God wants to show you the word so you can get right. The enemy wants to show you the word to show you that you're not right. But when we understand the word of God, understand that God wants to lead us in his righteousness. He wants to teach us how to walk in him. We understand that he is going to have to correct us. But correction is not always an easy thing. Amen. Nobody likes to be corrected. Right, Dad? I mean, if we got sports, if we talk about sports stats, my dad hates to be corrected on it. No, Dad, that guy only had 100 catches last year. No, he didn't. Google it. Right. Or now he says, ask Siri or whatever. We always go over those little debates. It's fun. But we have to get to a place where we do the word of God so that we don't forget it. It says, if anyone, here's something that you have to do. It says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious, and you know, we in church, oh, we're not religious. Guess what? There is good religion. Let's be clear about that. There's nothing wrong with religion unless you think you don't need a relationship with God. Okay? Because religion is just practices. It's okay to practice the right thing. Right? It's okay. I'm teaching my kids now. Every day they wake up, before they eat breakfast, they read the Bible on their own. Marquise and Markayla. I don't care how many scriptures they read, as long as they read it by themselves. Right? I'm teaching them this every day. I'm trying to do push-ups every day. Right? I just started last week. But I'm trying to do push-ups every day so that I can get my body trained. These are good practices to have. Right? There's nothing wrong with these good practices. But these practices do not supersede or here's another word. It doesn't mean that I don't need a relationship with God. Without my relationship with God, I cannot do the right thing. The Bible talks about when you have a relationship with God, good works will follow. It doesn't say it will lead. It will follow those who follow Jesus. So it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. So what are we doing? One thing we have to do is make sure we talk the right thing. It's very important because the world does not understand all the time the things that we are speaking. And we could damage the people that we are around when we are speaking the wrong things. The tongue could be healing or the tongue can be poison. Even us as believers. That's why when certain people do things to us, we can't react like the rest of the world does. Right? They cut me off in traffic. Oh, I got a good finger for that person. Is that really a good finger for you? Right? It's not. Because what if that, the funny thing is, what if that was somebody that you invited to church last week? And you see him again. I mean, I don't know about you. Sometimes when you have road rage and then you're like, oh, hey, that's somebody I know. If you got a finger ready for him, they're going to be like, dang, I'm not going to his church. Right? It's very important that we watch what we say. Verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, I believe the Christians, most of us, we do a good job of keeping ourselves unspotted from the world because we don't spend time with people in the world, right? I ain't got time. I'm trying to live holy. I'm trying to be just. I don't know about you, but I see a lot. I've been seeing the Jehovah's Witnesses all of a sudden they come into our complexes, right? And, you know, they always dress nice and got their books and their Bibles and carry them. So you know who they are, like, right? I mean, because first of all, I'm like, who was this standing in the parking lot? But they stand there with their books and they look great. And I might not talk to that person because he doesn't look like he needs God. Or at least I don't think so, right? People start to get uppity. That's dangerous for believers. Okay? There is no way that we can be a light in the darkness without being in the darkness. Now let me be clear about this. That doesn't mean I live like the darkness when I'm in the darkness. Catch that? If I am a light, I cannot hide my light. And look, what is the light? When I first started, I said John 1 says that Jesus is the light and the light of the world came to the world. But men in darkness did not comprehend the light. Okay? So when I am the light in darkness, I must clearly let them know who Jesus is. In word and in deed. Amen? So if I'm around people that are doing certain things, if they're drinking, I shouldn't be like, oh, I got to get out of here. Right? It's not always a thing that you have to do. You want to drink, Marquise? Absolutely not. Thank you. But when they talking to me, we can have conversations, and I need to bring the light up. Oh, okay, man. So I heard that you gave your life to the Lord. How's that going? Is there any questions that you have about that? All right. Let me share with you something that God's put on my heart for you. Right. That comes from praying for those people. That comes from spending time on your face and saying, God, I don't want to just be this uppity Christian who has nothing to do with the people in the world. I want to be a light. Now, like I said, people do a good job of that, keeping oneself unspotted from the world. But it's these other ones sometimes we don't do well. Visiting orphans. Anybody do that? Sometimes we get too busy for that. And widows in their trouble. We have to make sure we are doing what God calls good religion. Amen. Not only that, sometimes we have to spend time with our family. And, when we go to these family reunions, you know, a lot of times the family is like, hey, we haven't seen you guys in years and I would love to see people. And we have to make it our job to go see these people so that we can be the light in the darkness. So I'm asking you, are you a light? And if not, what are you doing? Guess what? What you speak and what you think becomes your actions. Right? What you speak and what you think turns into your actions. So what are you speaking? Are you speaking the word over yourself? Are you meditating or thinking on the word of God? This is very important because what you meditate and think on, you will begin to do. Amen? That's why it's important that you don't meditate on things that are not godly. Whether it comes from your mind or from another source. This is why I personally don't watch things on TV that are sexual. This is why I don't watch things that have curse words in it. I even, when I'm listening to sports radio, I have to turn it off sometimes because some people can't control their tongue. Right. And I love what they're talking about. And I could probably be on the show with them. But right. But I don't want to meditate on things that are not godly. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to pick it up next week again. But we want to think about the things that we are doing. What are we doing? Do you want to make a difference in the world? It starts with what you begin to do. I'm not telling you to go save your whole neighborhood. But maybe there's one person that God has sent you to impact. And guess what? Everybody that's a believer, we hear my dad say this many times, are able ministers of the word of God. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a teacher in title, but you are an able minister, which means that you are able to impact the world around you with the gospel and with the Jesus that is inside you. What are we doing? Heavenly Father, I just come before you thanking you, God, for your word. I ask, dear God, that your word begins to speak to us. Dear God, that your word begins to envelop in us so that we can be stronger believers. Dear God, that even our religion would be pleasing to you, God. That we walk in pleasing you, dear God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that we will make a difference even this week as we leave this place, but never your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen and amen. All right, if that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip up your hand. Amen. Remember, we are doers of the word.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.